dish. Bring something to eat and drink, and then we'll all have a good time eating and drinking too. Well, okay, done that part. Well, we're in a series, and the series is called Possessing the Kingdom. There's a kingdom to possess. The kingdom of God is where all the needs of God's children are met. Spiritually, we understand that. We understand that He will spiritually meet our needs. But also, it's where our needs are met in the soul dimension or in the physical dimension. There's a lot of depression today. Have you noticed? There's a lot of anxiety on people, and people are going through a lot of mental stress, and it's a time of that. Things are going rapidly. The world is spinning, and you're all busy. And there's a lot of anxiety, but Jesus wants to touch your soul also. He wants to help you mentally. That's the kingdom. He'll do it. And also is a place where you can meet your physical needs, where your physical needs will meet. Jesus went about teaching the kingdom of God and then healing them of all manner of diseases. All manners of diseases. Not just physical diseases, although that was a part of it, but He also healed people physically, mentally, and spiritually as well. All manner of diseases. So the kingdom of God becomes a place where all manner of disease are met and filled. And so this is what we're talking about. It's possessing the life that brings you righteousness and peace and joy. Now what we're doing is we're teaching possessing the kingdom along with and in comparison with the book of Joshua in the Old Testament. See, the nation of Israel had come to the Jordan River led by Joshua, and they came and they went through that Jordan River, and then they possessed the kingdom of God. And that's what we're aligning it with. From that perspective of what God wants to show us in the natural, we can come into the spiritual and enjoy the spiritual kingdom of God and possess it. So that's what we're kind of going along with. And so we've had this as our fourth lesson. Now today's title is this, The Hill of the Foreskins. Now I try to find a title that'll kind of get your attention. And if you're a man, that's probably gotten your attention. It's called The Hill of the Foreskins because this is what happened in this chapter of Joshua that we're going to be looking at today. It is a mighty principle in understanding how to possess the kingdom of God in your life and you to go on. And if you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, I always want you to have them, look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Turn there with me and be ready in just a few moments. Philippians 3, chapter 3, verse 3, and also in Joshua chapter 5. We'll just be all over Joshua chapter 5. Now remember what we're doing. We've crossed and went through the Jordan River, and now you would think that the people of God would be ready to go and attack. But though they may have been, God was not. You may be ready to attack. You may be ready to go and possess your kingdom. But this has got to happen in your life before you can. And this is what I want to talk about today. There has to be a hill of foreskins. Let's pray. Father, help me. Lord, I really want to convey this, and Lord, I want a circumcised heart. I want a heart that's tender to You, sensitive to You. Well, there's no flesh, Lord. I want a heart that reaches for You. And Father, I want to convey this today, and I ask You to help me. Father, I pray I won't speak too quickly or too slowly. I'll be interesting. But more than anything, Lord, I want to convey what You want conveyed. And let us see that before we're ever able to take down Jericho, before we're ever to experience the big grapes of Canaan, before we're ever really able to possess the kingdom, we must go through this particular aspect of Your kingdom. And I really want to convey it. So open our ears that we can hear what the Spirit says. Use me, Lord, to sow the seed into good soil that it'll produce 30 and 60 and 100 fold fruit in our lives. And I ask You to bless us. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Everybody says, amen, hallelujah, something, yes. Well, there is much misunderstanding about the kingdom of God today. We've been basically taught that all of these series of events must happen before we can possess the kingdom, before we can experience the kingdom. All of these events must happen, which terminate with a seven-year great tribulation where all kind of bad stuff happens to all kind of bad people. Well, I want to say that that's just not biblical. That's not accurate at all. And I've been showing you verses every week. I always try to start off with just a little theological teaching before I really get into what I really want to say to you. And I want to do that again today, but I'll spring from this particular verse into what I feel like the Lord wants to be said. But Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 shows us that that theology just isn't accurate. So if you're in there, turn there with me, and I hope you are, and it'll be on the screen as well. But Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13 says this, who hath, speaking of God the Father, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath, or has already, translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So if you are a believer, where are you? Are you waiting for the kingdom? Are you supposed to be living in the kingdom? You see? So there's a erroneous aspect about the kingdom of God. There is a kingdom of God that we, as born again, born of the Spirit and born of water, believers are in right now. Now we've got to decide that we want to possess it. Every one of God's children has been delivered from the power of darkness. It hath no more dominion over you. Right? You only mess up and sin because you want to mess up and sin. We're delivered from that. We've been brought out of our spiritual Egypts, and we all lived at one time in that darkness. And God now hath translated you, just as he translated the children of Israel, to a place where they could possess the promised land. Now it's up to us to possess it. See, just as it was for them, it is for you and I. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 12, Jesus said this, and from the days of John the Baptist until now. Now what's the time span that he's talking about here? From the days of John the Baptist until now, right? Until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. There is a kingdom. And it's suffering violence. And then he goes on to say, and the violent take it by force. Now, this isn't a natural violence. This isn't the violence like we're seeing in Iraq and all that stuff. That's not what we're talking about here. But you've got to grab a hold of your heart. And you've got to grab a hold of some things, and you've got to sometimes get violent with yourself and violent in the spiritual dimension so that you can possess the kingdom. And this is what he's talking about. For the kingdom of God, he says, is not out there. It's within you. And so the war is within you. The war is basically between your ears. And as we begin to possess that and we begin to come into the kingdom of God, we can experience all the abundance that Jesus came to give you. He says, I come to give you life and that more abundantly. We can enter and forcefully possess the kingdom of God today, just as the children of Israel forcefully entered and possessed their kingdom in their day. Now, they came across, went through the Jordan River, and headed for a little place called Gilgal. And they were pumped. I mean, they had seen the Jordan River stand still, stop flowing, back up 20 miles. They all came across, and we talked about that last time. And they were excited. They were pumped up. The first part of Joshua chapter 5, the first verse says that the enemies had melted of fear for them. Can I tell you that the enemy is afraid of you? You know, a lot of people are afraid of the devil. Can I tell you that the devil is afraid of you? When you start walking into his territory, they melted. And they were pumped, and they were ready to go. But God wasn't ready for them to go yet. God says, no. Before you're going to be successful, we got to do a few things. And I want to talk about that today. Now, Joshua chapter 5 has some issues that we've got to look at. We've got to see these things, and I'm going to kind of use them, but I just want to throw these out here just so that you'll see sort of where we're going and what this chapter is about. Before we can take Jericho, which is chapter 6, we've got to go through chapter 5. Now, chapter 5 talks about these things. Chapter 5 talks about, number 1, surrender. We're talking here about the circumcision of the heart. They had to surrender themselves to Joshua. There's a surrender that you and I must come and go through if we're going to allow God to use us to possess the kingdom. The second thing is there has to be a healing. If there's any real circumcision, folks, there's pain. If God does anything major in your life, it hurts. It will nearly paralyze you. And you've got to be healed. He doesn't want you going and trying to possess the kingdom of God hurting, broken hearts, bitterness, anger. He wants those things healed. So that's the second thing. The third thing is you got to experience the Passover correctly. It's not just a cracker and a little juice. It's the heart that is right. A heart that is circumcised. They could not experience Passover until they first experienced circumcision. Then the fourth one is we've really got to come to the place that we really understand who the captain of the Lord's host really is. You see, Jesus isn't here to choose or take sides. He's here to take over. You see, it's all about the kingdom. He's not here to be a Baptist or a Methodist or a LifeGate person or a Pentecostal. He's here to take over. And so when we understand that, are you for us or against us? Neither. I am the captain. So we're going to be talking about that a little bit today. But those are the things that I want us to see. But it's in other words, God expects us to get our hearts and our attitudes right before we begin to try to take the kingdom. So many people could try to get ahead of God. I'm telling you, you'll get kicked. You got to get this part down. We got to be able to communicate this part. So help me today. You see, in the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus began the Sermon on the Mount, the very first thing that he talked about were our attitudes. Blessed are they that. And he gives us these beatitudes. This is what you must be. These are the attitudes that we must have. So what God really wants to do is cut away our bad attitudes. Cut away those things that stop us or hinder us or keep us from possessing the kingdom. So this is what we're going to be discussing. God told Joshua and the people to prepare for battle. But he didn't tell them to go and sharpen their arrows and their spears. He said, sharpen your knives for surgery. So we got to do some cutting on you first before we're able to take out the enemies. Let me read you the verse. It's in Joshua chapter 5 and verse 2. And it says this. At that time, the Lord said unto Joshua, make thee sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. Now I'm going to be all over that verse today. We're going to spend most of our time with that verse. But in other words, before our victory can be assured to possess the kingdom of God and the abundant life that you and I are here to enjoy, we've got to allow God to take our hearts and work on them. We've got to let God do what He wants to do to our hearts before we'll ever go and possess the kingdom of God. This is a principle. So many people get kicked around because they've never given God their heart. Now, circumcision goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 17, where Abraham was instructed by God to circumcise himself, ouch, and all of his people. Now, it became the mark of God. It became what identified the people of God, circumcision. What we don't understand today is that it is still the identification mark of the person of God. Your coming to church doesn't necessarily mean that you have the mark of God on your life. Your praying a sinner's prayer does not necessarily mean that you have been saved. Because God doesn't look at the flesh. He looks at the heart. And He knows in your heart if you have been circumcised in your heart or not. Have you really given Him your heart? You see, this is what this chapter is really about. Have we come to a place where we are experiencing the circumcision again the second time, third time, fourth time, fifth time, sixth time of the Lord? Have we given Him our hearts? You see, this is what He's really after. Romans chapter 2 and verse 28 says this, a man is not a Jew or a person of God, people of God, if he is only one outwardly, nor is circumcision merely outwardly and physical. No man is a Jew or a person of God if he or she is one inwardly. We'll have it start over. No man is a Jew if a man is a Jew, a person of God, if he is one inwardly, and circumcision is circumcision of the heart by the Spirit, not by the written code, such as a man's praise is not from men, but from God. Why does God praise us? Because we allow Him to take our hearts. And the circumcision is not of a male organ, but the circumcision is when we all give Him our hearts. You see, in the New Testament, it's not whether you're a male or a woman, male or female. In the New Testament, we are all one. Let me show you this. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28, it says, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." Now, we all have a heart, and therefore we all are circumcised. If you're in the New Testament, that just shows you, in the Old Testament, just shows us the shadow and the type of what God wants to do in the new, which is the real. He wants to take our hearts and circumcise it. See, every believer has a heart. Therefore, every person, every believer needs circumcision. Now, what this circumcision does is allow us to worship correctly. You can identify yourself if you are a believer, if you have the mark of God, by your worship and by your rejoicing. I'll show you. Philippians 3:3 says this, "For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh." In other words, we don't get happy about the fleshly things. We don't worship fleshly things. What we worship is God, and what we get happy about is Christ Jesus. What turns you on, if you're a Christ follower, if you're a true believer, if you've really saved, is Jesus. What really you worship is not money or things. See, some people get all excited and they worship, and these things and money and all this stuff becomes what they worship. It takes their time. It takes all of them. And they begin to worship idols, stuff, and not worship God. What makes you happy? What makes your heart smile? What really gets you excited about life? Now, there's a lot of things. A lot of things make my heart smile. But if anything supersedes Jesus making my heart smile, I got a problem. Are you with me? You understand what I'm trying to say here? I get happy about a lot of things. A lot of things make my heart smile. But what really I rejoice in is Christ Jesus. And so when we look at our lives, what really takes our time? What do we really worship? We can look at our checkbook lots of times and see what we worship. What is it that really turns us on? You see, that'll tell you where your heart is. Well, I want to encourage us today. I want to release you. And I want you to release yourselves in worship and in rejoicing here. Now, what I'm trying to say is this. When we've had service like we've had this morning, and there is a move of the Spirit, and you feel during the worship time God doing something in your heart, don't wait until I give an altar call to come down and pray. Don't miss the circumcision of your heart. Let God do something right now in your heart. You can come down. Don't wait till the end. That move may pass. These altars are always open. And if you feel God moving with you, we'll leave you alone. You can come and pray and just give Him your heart. Say, "Here, Lord, I know this needs dealt with. I know this needs cutting. Here, I want you to do something. I want you to help me." If we're in praise and worship, and things are really hopping, you know, and there's a joy and a thing happening inside of you, don't wait for somebody else to do a dance or to shout. You can just go ahead and do it. I don't wait on you. Hey, I'll shout. I mean, I want you to also come out there. You can dance here. It is okay. It is okay to have fun here on Sunday mornings. Yes. Rejoice in Jesus, because when you do that, a circumcision happens on the inside of you. Things are cut loose and cut away that will hinder you from experiencing the kingdom. Come down and pray and worship and give your heart to Him and rejoice in Jesus. That's what He really wants you to do. Now, there is a unique link, and after I'm done here, we're going to have water baptism. And so I just went ahead and put this particular verse in here as well. It just fitted. It fit so well today. In Colossians 2:11, it says this, "In Him you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with a circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ," or our Joshua. Colossians 2:12 says, "Having been buried with Him in baptism, Let me run through that again. The circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism. See, baptism is an external expression of what God's doing internally. Baptism shows that God is dealing with your heart. I've been baptized 4 times. And I'll probably be baptized more. What I'm trying to say to you is that in baptism, something happens. Having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. When we go into waters of baptism and we're raised in that newness of life, something happens in our heart. See, it's an external expression. It's not just something we do because we're Christians. We do it because something's happening in our hearts. And what I want to encourage you here in just a little while, we're going to do this. And maybe God's dealt with your heart today, and maybe you say, man, I really want to be baptized again. Or don't miss it. Don't put it off. Come up here and get wet with us. Let me say it again. Get your clothes wet. Your clothes will dry. Your hair will dry. But your heart will never be the same. Come up. We'll get you a towel. Just to come and enjoy the presence of God and Him working in your heart. Now, moving on, it was interesting to me that in Joshua chapter 5, that those who exited Egypt and wandered in the wilderness did not circumcise their children. They did not make sure that their children experienced the circumcision or the mark of God. Let me read you this verse. This is from the Message Bible, and it says it this way in Joshua chapter 5 and verse 7. But their children had replaced them. In other words, that generation had died and another generation had come along. These are the ones Joshua circumcised. They had never been circumcised. No one had circumcised them along the way. See, along the way of life, we need to make sure that our children have a touch of God on their hearts. Along the way, we've got to make certain that our children experience the New Testament circumcision, because if they don't, you will not be able to possess the kingdom. Now, let me try to explain what I'm trying to say. It's very difficult for you to battle with your children and battle with the devil. Notice something for me. Notice children who really worship God and rejoice in Jesus. Notice their lives. You'll notice that they seldom give their parents problems. You'll notice that they make good grades in school. They're respectful of people. You'll notice that they live at a higher level of life and they expect more from life. So you got one that is and one that isn't. Is that what you're trying to say? But you understand what I'm trying to say here. Now, anytime you're rearing children, you're gonna fight with them. But I'm not talking battling, I'm talking training here. You train them up in the way they should go. There's always sometimes there's power structures that you have to keep. You know, they want to divide and conquer you. Did you know that? And so you're always letting them know who is the captain of the host in this house. And so you establish that continuously and say, no, we're going to do it my way because I'm the captain. But you don't battle with them. Our children, we were always this thing, you know, we would know, yes and no. But I never battled with my children. But I watch parents battle with their children. And you cannot battle with your children and beat the devil. What will happen in your home is that a house divided, they will divide you. And they'll make mom and dad fight with each other. They come, you know, all this stuff's going on in a house divided. Cannot stand. So it is important, folks, that we make certain that our children receive the New Testament circumcision where God deals with their heart. How do we do that? Well, first of all, we need to make sure they're put in a place where God can touch their hearts. They need to go to camps. I'll go to youth camps and I'll get touched. They'll get in an environment. It's established. They're away from parents. They're away from stuff. They're away from the computers. They're away from the toys. They're away from the Nintendos. They're there with God and people. And God begins to touch their hearts. And then bring them to Shine. Our youth ministry. Get them there. Put them in an environment that is specifically adjusted and organized so that God will touch their hearts and circumcise their hearts. Bring them in here. They may be at church, but are they in here? They're out on the parking lot. They're back in the nursery. Come, get them in here. See, put them in a place where they can have an encounter with Jesus Christ, with our Joshua, and where God can touch their hearts. You'll have a lot less problems. You'll be able to focus more on the devil and fighting him than fighting with your kids. And you can tell by looking at what they worship and in what they rejoice. Now, I like music, understand? But I don't worship music. I like to have fun. But fun's not what I rejoice in. What does your child worship? Where do they spend their time? What makes your child happy? Does Jesus? You see. And if you'll notice those things, you can tell if they're experiencing a circumcision of their heart. Just an important point I thought we needed to touch. Joshua chapter 5 and verse 2 says this. At that time the Lord said unto Joshua, make these sharp knives and circumcise again. And now at this point I want to emphasize this double emphasis again. The children of Israel the second time. Double emphasis. Circumcised again the second time. Now I know that in the natural, these were individuals that wandered in the wilderness and their parents never had them circumcised. And so it was another real monumental circumcision event. That was in the natural. But in the spiritual dimension, there is a newness or a freshness of the circumcision that happens to us once we make that decision to go through our Jordan and go into the kingdom and possess it. Something fresh and something new takes place in our lives. It does in me. It's a kingdom circumcision. It's a fresh circumcision. It's where God deals freshly with our hearts. Now let me try to explain it to you this way. How many of us know people that they are believers, but it's like they're wandering in the wilderness. They live very defeated lives. They're always battling with the same battles. They're going around the same mountains. God has to keep on giving them manna. Nothing's wrong with manna, but God wants you to eat the corn of the land. Nothing's wrong with manna, but if God doesn't do something always consistently in their life, they just live these defeated lives. They go around the same mountains fighting the same enemies. They never get a victory. They never tend up where they're always being pushed down. Now, when they die, they'll go to heaven. Does God love them? Yes. But then there are other people that you know who seem to always come out on top. You know, they always have a joy about them, a peace about them. They're always victorious. And no matter what enemy they face, they always win. They always seem to make the right decision. No matter what battle that comes along, they come out ahead and they're always tending upward in their lives. They always have joy. They're always full of peace. And they always seem to do things right. That's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And that is the kingdom. There are other people, see, that always are possessing the kingdom of God. And that's what I'm talking about here. And what happens is that they continuously let God circumcise their heart again the second time. Always letting the Lord deal with their hearts and help them and change them and mold them and make them. My point is that though some people have been, it's as though some people have been circumcised again the second time. How many of you remember when you first come to the Lord and you were just a little infant? I mean, just a baby in Jesus. Just had come to the Lord and man, you wanted to throw this away and cut that off. You know, you poured your booze down the drain. You tried to stop smoking. You cut all this. You remember that? Does anybody do that in here? Yes. Okay. And You don't know why you did it. You just knew that you were supposed to. You see, at that time you were an infant. You were like an 8-day-old male boy in the Old Testament that had nothing to say about this circumcision thing. Your parents just brought you and they did it to you. You couldn't say no or yes. This is just what happens. And it happens to every new believer. You can't explain it. It just happens to us. But then, later on, you get older in the Lord, and you want to start doing well in the kingdom, and you want to possess these things that you're hearing about in the spiritual walk that you're encountering, and all of a sudden, you find God coming back again and circumcising your heart again the second time. And you find that He wants to cut something else off. There's some loose skin that's interfering with your being sensitive to Him. There's some flesh that needs to be removed. And so you come to the place. You say, okay, Lord, here's my heart. You can have it. Hold it. Do what you want to do with it. Be as gentle with me as you can. But I understand that this has to go. And He circumcises your heart again a second time. And then later on, you're moving along in God. And all of a sudden, you feel again the presence of God. And you feel Him dealing with something in your heart. And so you say, okay, here it is again. Be as easy as you can with me. But circumcise me again the third time. And there's a continuous time like that in the New Testament. And it's kingdom circumcision. And here's what's happening in your life. Is that He's preparing you to possess the kingdom. See, you can't go to war with all of this stuff. You can't fight the devil with all this flesh in our lives. You can't be successful and be victorious and conquer and have that abundant life with all of this flesh. And so He cuts away more and He cuts away more and He cuts away more. And finally, all of that's gone. And you're just so sensitive to Him. You're so exposed to Him. That's what He wants to do in you and me. And that's what He wants to do here at LifeGate. We keep allowing Him to minister to us and to touch us. Joshua chapter 5 and verse 8 says this, "And after the whole nation had been circumcised, they remained where they were in camp until they were healed." Having the privilege and the honor to do what I get to do, I watch God circumcise hearts on a consistent basis. There's always discomfort in a true circumcision. There's always pain, agony, nearly paralyzing people when they truly begin to let God deal with their hearts. See, God will deal with unforgiveness in our hearts. God will deal with anger in our hearts. God will deal with broken hearts and resentments. And God will deal with things that have us in bondage. And He'll deal with those things. And cutting away from those things sometimes is very paralyzing. It's a very time of hurt. And it takes time to heal. What's interesting about this verse is it says that they stayed in camp until they healed. Oftentimes, one of the sad things is I see God dealing with something in an individual's life, they'll get out of camp. Camp is church in the New Testament. This is my camp. When I'm wounded, when God is dealing with my heart about something, here is where I heal. And it's sad sometimes to see the Lord really dealing with someone, and then they get out of church because they never heal. In fact, sometimes they get infected. And they're unable to produce. I want to tell you, if God's dealing with your heart, stay as close as you can to camp. Because this is where you'll really be healed. This is where God wants to really do something in your life. And He wants to take you on because Jericho is just around the corner. Stay in camp. Stay in the church until you're healed. And if you will, and let God do a work in your heart and then heal you, you will possess the kingdom. Joshua chapter 5 and verse 3 says this, "And Joshua made him sharp knives and circumcised the children of Israel at the hill of the foreskins." Now there's my title. See, there were so many foreskins piled up that they formed a hill. Now it's important here to remember that we're not talking here of 8-day-old infants. We're talking about full-grown people, warriors, people that God was going to use to conquer the kingdom. Grown people. They believed with all of their hearts that Joshua was really hearing God. You got to get the picture. These are full-grown men, and this guy comes up to him and says, "Okay, we got to circumcise you. Are you really hearing God?" You know. They were convinced in their heart that Joshua had the word of the Lord for their lives. I'm always evaluating LifeGate. I'm always looking to see if we're doing things at the maximum amount of perfection that we can bring at this time. And I'm always trying to find areas that we can improve in. And so after you've been here for a while, and I've known you've gone to several different churches and around this region and this area, I'll ask you after I've confident and I'm sure that, you know, that you're settled and you like me, I'll ask you. I'll say, you know, "How do you think about this?" or "What do you think about this?" as we compare it with other places around. And so I had that opportunity here a couple of weeks back, and so I asked an individual who had been to several places around here, "How does LifeGate line up with other places that you've been?" Now I said, "Now I'm not talking so much about praise and worship. I know our praise and worship is excellent. You know, I don't know of a better place, but I'm talking about more specifically the word ministry. What is the word ministry really like here? Is it okay? Is it good? You know, compare for me, please, the ministry of the word and the teaching of the word at LifeGate compared to other places." And this individual said this to me. He said, "Delbert, those people love you so much. They trust you so much that they'll believe anything you tell them." I said, "Wow, I guess I kind of knew that, but I'd never heard anyone say that." My point is this, is that I know you love me. I know you know that I'm a man of God. I know you know that I'm a person of the Word. I know you trust me. But does LifeGate have a hill of foreskins? Have we, as an assembly, as a group of people, as an army of God, have we come to a place where we took our hearts and said, "Here, Lord, we trust you enough to circumcise our hearts. We trust you enough to cut away everything that's going to hinder us from possessing the kingdom." Have we come to that yet? See, the call of LifeGate Church is that right there. LifeGate Church reaching people and making them devoted followers of Jesus Christ. The way we do it is with the gospel of the kingdom. We go throughout this area preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, because in the gospel of the kingdom is healing for everything that we need. Are the needs that are, every need will be met for every person that you meet if it's in the gospel of the kingdom. If that's what we want to do, we want to reach people. We want them to have an abundant life. We want to take this message to this region. But that will never happen until there's a hill of foreskins. That will never happen until we can corporately come to the place where we say, "Jesus, we trust you enough. We give you our hearts. And we want you to cut away everything that's hindering us from being what we need to be." Now, bringing this into a very personal place, each one of us should have a hill of foreskins. In the spiritual dimension, we should allow God to circumcise us the first time, second time, third time, fourth time, fifth time. And us individually, each one of us should have our own personal hill of foreskins. But what I'm trying to say here is that if LifeGate Church is really going to reach this region with the gospel of the kingdom, and we're really going to make people devoted followers of Jesus Christ, we've got to let God deal with our hearts. And we've got to get deeper than our minds. And we've got to come to a place where God is really allowed to touch us. I open these altars up for you now. Take advantage of them. I open praise and worship up for you. Please take advantage of it. Open water baptism up to you. Please take advantage of it. Let God move in our hearts so that we really can reach this region with the gospel of the kingdom of God. If we will, Jericho's walls will fall at our shout. The sun and moon will stand still. God will stop time for us so that we can do what we need to do. If we will, every giant that we face will be defeated. Not only us corporately, but you individually. Everything you face, if you'll just give God our hearts, everything that we face, we're going to be victorious. We're going to be the head and not the tail. In an unprecedented way, we will reach this region as nothing else ever has with the gospel of the kingdom, and we'll reach people for Jesus Christ, and we will possess the kingdom. Joshua 5:10, I'm going to do this one quickly. Joshua 5:10 says this, on the evening of the 14th day of the month, while camped at Gilgal, on the plains of Jericho. Now notice that Jericho's now in the picture. After the circumcision, now we can begin to see Jericho. Camped at Gilgal on the plains of Jericho, the Israelites celebrated the Passover. What did they do? Celebrated. They celebrated the Passover. They camped at Gilgal, the place of the Hill of the Foreskins, but they didn't stay there. They didn't remain there, right? They didn't live there. They didn't dwell there. They just camped there. Listen, don't camp out where God circumcises you. It's okay if I said it that way. let me say it another way. Don't stay at the place where God dealt with your heart. Remember it. But there's a lot more to do. You just camp there. Sometimes all I hear Christians talking about is what God did for them one time. You're dwelling at Gilgal. Leave. Go on to. We got Jericho. We got all these other things that God wants to do in us. Move on in the kingdom. But what I really want to point out here is that they celebrated the Passover. Now, the Passover was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. You remember the Passover. The Passover was in Egypt where God told the people to take the lamb and put the blood of the lamb on the doorpost and these kinds of things. And that kept them from being judged, right? The Passover blood of the lamb kept those people that did it from being judged, right? Well, Jesus fulfilled the Passover. He became the Lamb of God. And now His blood is put on the doorpost of our hearts. You with me now? Okay. He's on the doorpost of our hearts. Now, what will that blood do on the doorpost of our hearts? It's mercy. Yeah. Is God going to judge you? Get shadow, type, new, okay? First the natural, then the spiritual. The blood kept them from being judged. Right? What does the blood do today? Keep you from being judged. Now, He'll discipline you, but He's not going to judge you. They celebrated the Passover. They didn't celebrate what had happened. They celebrated being in the land of promise. They celebrated being where God could really use them and where things were awaiting them. Big grapes were awaiting them. Big houses were awaiting them. Land and inheritance and all this wonderful stuff was, they were celebrating the Passover. People come here sometimes and we have communion on the first Sunday every month. Sometimes people won't take it because they don't feel worthy. And they say, well, should I take it or not? Well, how is your heart? Is it hard? Or is He circumcising it? If God is dealing with your heart, please take it. Please take it. Because there is this link between the Passover and circumcision. Let me show you. In Exodus 12:48, it says this, and when a stranger shall sojourn with thee and will keep the Passover of the Lord, let all his males be circumcised, and then let him come near and keep it. And he shall be as one that is born in the land. For no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. See, they couldn't experience the Passover until they experienced circumcision. But once they did, they were allowed to experience it, and the judgment of God stopped on their lives. And what I want us to see is that this is what God wants us to do. They celebrated. They celebrated the future. They celebrated where they were. They celebrated Jericho. They're going to conquer this land. They celebrated what God was doing in the present and what He was going to do in their future. But they celebrated the Passover. The emphasis is on the celebration. Joshua 5:10 says this, the Israelites celebrated the Passover. Don't get hung up on your past. Stop reminding God about your sins. Have you confessed them? Then what does He say He does with them? He'll say, what are you talking about? I forgot that. That's under the blood. Stop bringing that up. Let's celebrate your future. There's a lot of principles in Joshua 5 that I could bring out. For example, they stopped eating manna. They started eating the corn of the land. God wants you to enjoy the kingdom. He doesn't want you to have to live a life where you've got to be provided for every little thing. He wants you to possess. He wants you to eat the corn of the land, the good things that God has for you. I've got one more principle that I want to share today, and then we're done for today. We've got to come to the place in our hearts. We know it in our minds, but we've got to settle it in our hearts. That's what this whole chapter is about. We've got to settle it in our hearts what this thing is really all about. See, Jesus isn't here to take sides. Jesus is here to take over. He's here to bring a kingdom in you and around you. He's here to take over. Joshua 5:13 says this, "Now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, 'Are you for us or for our enemies?'" What did he say?
Neither.
Neither, he replied. "But as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." Then Joshua fell face down in the ground in reverence and asked him, get this part, "What message does my Lord have for his servant?" I'll try to say it this way. I've already said it, but I'm going to try to say it again. See, God is not for LifeGate. God is not for the Baptist. He is not for the Methodist. He's not for Pentecostals. What he's here to do is take over. We should be for Him. And what we've got to do is come to the place where we fall down and say, "What message does my Lord have for me? What do you want me to do in the kingdom? Give me your message for my life. What message do you have for me, Lord Jesus? I've allowed you to circumcise my heart, circumcise my people, my family, everything that I've allowed you to touch it to the desperate. Now, what is the message that you have for me? I want to possess the kingdom." See, it's not if He's for us. He's not against us, but He's not for us specifically. He's about taking over. He's about possessing the land. He's about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is what Jesus came to establish. And when we come to that mentality that we're really here to bring a kingdom, Jesus said to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done," where? "On earth as it is in heaven." That's what it's all about. And He is the captain. What message do you have for me? I want to tell you today, I want to encourage you, you have been translated into the kingdom. You're standing there now, and you've got to arise in a violence and go forth and possess it. You've got to allow Him first, though, before you try to attempt to attack Jericho. You've got to let Him have your heart. The enemy will kick you bad if you don't. Let Him deal with your heart and get away all that fleshly stuff that's going to stop you and hinder you. Heal, though. See, whenever God really does a circumcision in you, it hurts. There's pain. It's paralyzing. But if you'll stay in camp and let Him heal you, you can go and possess the kingdom. See, there's got to be a hill of foreskins. That's my title. There's got to be a hill of foreskins. But at the same time, there, if you'll allow Him to make that heal in your life, but heal you and take you and use you, I'm telling you, there's a kingdom to possess. And it's all about possessing the kingdom. And if you will, you'll be so happy. There are big grapes. There are all this abundance that Jesus came to give you. And you have a life that's so full and so peaceful. I want you to allow the Lord to deal with your heart. How many is going to allow Him to take your heart and cut away some things and start allowing Him? At the moment that you feel Him, you're going to come down to the altars. You're going to rejoice in Jesus. You're going to allow Him to start dealing with your heart in a way that you never have before. How many is going to help me do that? How many is going to help me do that? Would you give the Lord a hand clap and a shout? Amen. Tremendous principles that we need to apply to our life. Well, we always do at LifeGate. We always want to pray for people. Now, I'm going to go and change for water baptism. And if you're going to be water baptized, then now would be the time. If you're going to change, then go do that. But, again, let me emphasize this. If God's touching your heart today, your clothes will dry, your hair will dry, but your heart will never be the same. You just come down. We've got some towels. I want you to invite you. Just come down. Get wet. Go home. But you'll be okay. I want you to deal with that. But also, what I'm trying to do today is I'm also wanting God to deal with our hearts in all kinds of ways. Now, some of us have never had spiritual salvation. Some of us have never really come to Jesus Christ. Now, you need to. You need to make that initial step. You need to let Him have that first chance at circumcising of your heart. I want to pray a prayer in just a second. I want everybody in here to pray with me. Just feel to do it today. I want you to pray along with me. Pray out loud, every single person. If you've never received Jesus, then that will take that first step. If you want to come tell us about it, that's fine. If you don't, that's fine too. It's a personal thing between you and He. So I just invite you to pray along with me. So let's do that right now. Pray along with me out loud. Just pray with me. Pray after I pray. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Save my soul. Heal me physically. Heal me mentally. And heal my spirit. I will serve you the rest of my days. I repent of my past. But I celebrate my future. And I ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Now, if you did that, then you could come into the kingdom and begin to possess it. Now, what we do is we want to pray for you. You may need physical healing, something going on in the soul dimension. You've got a problem, a home situation. There are so many things that God wants to do for you. He wants to heal all manner of disease. Okay. Now, what is going on in your life? He wants to attack it, and He wants to have victory over it for you. He wants you to have an abundant life. So whatever that it is that you may need, we want you to be coming down right now. We want to lay hands on you, anoint you with oil if you need it. Whatever that may need to be happening in your life, we want to touch your life right now and pray for you. So let's do that. Father, we do right now. Lord, we ask you, we thank you for this word, Lord. We ask you, Lord, that it's planted into our hearts deeply. And Lord, it's going to produce a lot of fruit. Ask you now, Lord God, as we come to this point in the service, Lord, where we pray for people, ask you to heal their bodies. I ask you to heal their minds and ask you to heal their spirits. Lord, touch us in every single way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Be coming.